America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey everybody, and welcome to
Belief It
or Did We,
the show where we don't did it, but dude,
did we? Didn't.
That's the question for you, the viewer at home.
Yes. Does one do one?
If you did one, did you do it? Don't you?
How you doing, Damien?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. A
little sleepy.
Yeah. What? Long night.
Yeah, well, okay, so into my brain. So 3 days ago, I missed my meds.
Okay.
And then it throws off my sleep schedule for days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, but I'm catching up, and I'm living the dream.
Living la vida loca.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If anybody's ever been on venlafaxine, they know what I'm talking about.
Effexor. I'm a little tired, but not. I was just up a little later, yeah. You know, because I got home from work, and you know, it's not always easy to fall asleep right away. So,
yeah.
I played some Game Boy. I pet the cat. You know, things like that.
Yeah. Playing some Zelda.
No. I'm playing Pokemon Gold.
Ooh.
Oldie but goodie.
Oldie but a goodie.
I do want to play the new Zelda though. Still need to finish Breath of the Wild, actually. Don't tell anyone.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the... So the new Zelda just came out.
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. It's the one that came out right before it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
I do apologize to our viewers. I realize our donut painting fell down, so now we just have this blank, ugly spot on the wall.
Oh, shit.
And that's going to look bad.
Do you want me to just do this the whole
episode? So people know what a donut looks like.
This is a donut.
So, folks,
I don't want to do that. My shoulders.
Actually,
tired.
Damien, when
me,
when you hear the word fundamentalism, what do you think of?
Well, first of all, you need to put something to put the fun in fundamentalism, right? So that could be many things.
Yeah.
You know, be it someone who's very charismatic, maybe a cool mascot, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I also think people I don't like.
Oh, okay.
Usually.
Yeah.
I haven't met a good fundamentalist.
Because I think fundamentalism now is kind of like, it almost is the same word as extremism.
Right. Well, I mean, if we're talking about basketball, you got to have the fundamentals.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. But Christian fundamentalism is the first religion to use the term fundamentalism. And it was not, they didn't mean it as a bad thing. They meant it as a good thing.
Yeah, it's just euphemistic language to try and spin things.
Yeah.
And then it got away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what happened was the 1800s happened. So
they happened for a few years, right?
Yeah, they happened for about 100 years.
That long?
Yeah.
Wow.
But so Civil War happened.
Where?
In America. America had a Civil War. And what happened with that is not only did the country split, but churches split. So like the Baptists split and things like that. So there was a lot of division within religion itself. And also what happened in the 1800s was the revivals. So we got the...
Creedence Clearwater.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. The Big Tent Revival. We had first Great Awakening and then the Second Great Awakening. And then we have things like the Millerites. That's the Great Disappointment. Yeah.
And then the Miller Lights.
Then the Miller Lights. Not the Bud Lights. Go woke, go broke.
That's true.
Just
yeah.
kidding. but... So there's a lot going on in religion. And then also in the world of science, you got geologists discovering that, hey, wait a minute, the world's not 6,000 years old.
Yeah.
It's a little older than that.
A couple years older than that.
Yeah. And then you have Darwin. Darwin comes along and he's like, you know, we didn't just spontaneously get created by a infinite being.
We didn't?
No, apparently not.
So complex.
Yeah, that's true.
It has to have a creator.
irreducible complexity, anybody?
Exactly. We're like fine Swiss watches.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that a watch just made itself, would you?
Nope. If you're walking down in the woods and you found a watch, you wouldn't think, oh, this watch just evolved.
That's right. I wouldn't look at an Apple iPhone 8 and think, that came out of nowhere.
Nope. So I guess that's it for this podcast, though. Then,
Work.
This podcast is brought to you by ads.
If you love ads, check out this one.
This ad's for you.
Damien, do you like privacy?
Oh, I love privacy. I don't want anyone busting in on me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, like if I close the door on my apartment, yeah, that means none of my neighbors can come in.
Well, you would hope, but I mean, like in today's day and age, how many times have you signed up for something or just gone to a website and then all of a sudden you're getting emails, you're getting phone calls, you're getting all this shit happening to you that you don't want happening to you?
Yeah, and you know what? You can put a stop to that because, like, you know that even if you're in incognito mode, your ISP...
Yeah, they're still watching. And you know what I say? None of their business, those big conglomerates. Why do they get to know what I'm doing?
And for me, like, I like when I'm writing a script or whatever, I like to go to a coffee shop and write it there and use their Wi-Fi. And you want them to have that extra.
Public Wi-Fi is a crazy space to be, and you don't know who else is connecting to it and who has access to those things.
Yeah, have you even seen Mr. Robot?
No.
Oh. Do you know there's over 30 million people who have signed up for our next sponsor?
30 million?
Yeah.
30 million people have signed up for our next sponsor. Who is?
Who is Private Internet Access.
Okay. So, that's fair. They are a Private Internet Access is a VPN provider. And like, listen, I'm not going to be handing over my computer, my phone to strangers and letting them look at it. Why would I do that? Oh, do you want me to look at your phone?
Yeah, if you want to look through my history. No, don't look through my history.
Oh, my God. And if you want to stop your ISPs from always looking over your shoulder and profiting off your data, because you know that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to make a buck off of you. And you don't want them to make a buck off of you or two. You need to make your own bucks.
Yeah.
But then you need Private Internet Access, the world's most transparent VPN provider.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. With over 30 million downloads, we talked about that. This is the perfect software for staying private online as it hides your IP address and encrypts your internet connection.
That's right. And Private Internet Access is really easy to use. There are apps available for all operating systems, and one subscription can protect up to 10 devices at once. Your phone, your computer, your other phone, your tablet, your other tablet.
So you're going to want to go to PIAVPN.com/believe it or not and get 82% off. That's an 82% discount. 82.
That's right. That's just $2.03 a month, and you get an extra 4 months completely free. But you got to go to PIAVPN.com/believe it or not for a truly private digital life. One last time, PIAVPN.com/believe it or not for 82% discount.
That's pretty good.
And we won't see what you're browsing. Yeah, well.
I love those arguments, too, because they're like, they're just like these gotcha things. Like, ha, what about that? Why are there still monkeys? Huh. I got a message yesterday because I...
Why are there still monkeys is such a funny thing.
Yeah. Somebody on TikTok was like, if adults came from babies, then why are there still babies?
That's a good point, though, actually.
That's true. Yeah. I got a message yesterday on Instagram, and the person said, I watched your video on abortion, and besides just making fun of Christians for the whole video, you also said that fetuses aren't humans, so what species are they? And like, I know he was like trying to do a gotcha, and I was like, what species is semen?
They're spunkies.
Yeah, you don't take your sock or your tissues in a stroller down the street.
Well, like some people probably do.
That's true. And then they get arrested.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's just like, You can get into like these weird arguments. Yeah. Just getting down to semantics, right?
And that's what I said too. I was like, you know what? We could argue and you can like say, oh, I got you or whatever. But I'm like, just, I'm not going to sit here and argue in a Instagram chat. Mm-hmm. Just do some research. Yeah. It's not about you and me. It's about the people who have to make this decision.
Right.
And so don't just be like, oh, I got another YouTuber. Like, actually start looking into it. And
I mean, and also look at like, why are these politicians, because it's predominantly the politicians who are pushing this stuff, right? Why are they pushing these things? It's to distract from other things, and it's to push these like Judeo-Christian ideals, because that's where they're going to get the support behind them. And it's like a smokescreen for other things, and it's also taking away women's bodily autonomy.
Yeah,
it's just another means of control.
Yeah,
they don't care about babies dying.
Yeah.
No. They cared about the kids, then there'd be a lot of social programs and things like that, but there's not. They don't give a shit about the children.
Yeah. And then going back to the 1800s, and then, well, early 1900s, Princeton Theology starts, Theological Seminary starts like discussing the origins of the Bible and starts saying, okay, let's look at this. And a lot of European theologians are doing this as well. And like, let's not look at this as, okay, we know it's the word of God. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start from that point. But like, let's look at it like it's any other literary text that we would look at and examine it that way. And this way, you know, we can look at the contradictions and be like, well, duh, it's just they're different writings for different times. And that, you know, and that's a good way, I think, to study the Bible.
It's amazing it took that long for people to kind of like do that on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure some people probably did at some point. But for it to be something that, you know, it's noted as this is what they did, it's wild that it took until the 1800s.
Yeah. And then so modernism is rolling into Christianity. And so a lot of Christians are accepting evolution, accepting geology because it wasn't presented as, hey, we're going to fight off God with this. It's like, well, here's what we're observing. And so Christians, a lot of Christians are, you know, folding this into their faith. And some people got really scared by that and thought this was going to be the demise and the end of Christianity.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it always seems like it's framed as fighting Christianity, where it's just like, no, we're just presenting factual information that just happens to contradict your belief system.
Exactly. Like, for me personally, like, when I realized that, I had to ask myself, do I want to just believe in Christianity, or do I want to find the truth?
Right.
And that was a huge like adjustment for me to make, of me like, I'm not just looking for arguments for what I already believe. I want to start looking for what is actually true.
Well, that's I don't remember the guy's name. I've been seeing clips of his stuff recently, but it was like a YouTube short, and he was in an argument with a guy who was basically saying that something along, like, there was some statistics that people who believe in Christianity were happier. So he was saying that, shouldn't it just make sense for atheists to pretend to believe in Christianity to be happier? And the whole thing was just like, you can't do that. And people pretending to believe in something isn't going to make them genuinely believe it. No. And it's not going to make them happy.
No.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's just like, should I know the truth, or should I pretend not to and keep going with this facade because I think it might make me feel better?
Yeah.
Spoiler, it doesn't.
It doesn't. No, especially like when you're already questioning it. And like I was trying to attend church, but it was like, I just hear these sermons that were just pissing me off, and it made it worse. And you can't pretend to just like, because I was like, oh, I'll keep going for the community. But like,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You got to find that community in other ways, but there's not really as many places that kind of fill as wide of a niche, as wide of a market as like a church community will, I guess, you know? There's a lot larger of a, it's, you know, I guess it's like a social club for people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really many other social clubs, are there? That's not like tied to like a specific activity?
Yeah, not really. Especially like if you live in a small town.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's your main source of community and getting to know people, and
especially if like most of the community go there, right?
Yeah
then you're just kind of like, okay, me and Crazy Bob from gonna hang out at Tim Hortons.
I remember just testing the waters. I was visiting my family, and I already kind of didn't believe, but I was like on the fence. But we went to church, And afterwards, I was like, I found something very factually incorrect mm-hmm. with the sermon. And, like, the reaction from my dad, like, it was immediately, like, defensive. Like, he was about to go into argument mode. And I was like, he said that The End of the World as We Know It was a song by Great Big Sea, but Great Big Sea covered it. It's an R.E.M. song, and because the pastor used it in an illustration.
That's pretty good, though. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so people started debating, and people started, like, figuring, okay, you know, mm-hmm. what is Christianity? Yeah, I guess a big thing, too, was, like, they're like, well, Moses didn't write the Pentateuch. Like, it's clearly different mm-hmm. writers, and it's clearly different writing styles, even within books. Like the first five books of the Bible, it's not, especially Genesis, it's not like that was written by one person. This is a collection of works.
Yeah.
And, so things like that, and people are questioning.
This is like a Reader's Digest.
Yeah, yeah. So different groups spring up, but for the most part, there's like this kind of area of we're trying to figure out the fundamentals of the faith. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Mm-hmm. So they had something in 1878 called the Believer's Meeting for Bible Study. They created the 14 fundamental beliefs of evangelical pastors, or evangelical Christianity, but they eventually narrowed it down to five.
Okay.
So there's five fundamental beliefs. And these were in the 1920s. These were handed out in a book that was, it was called The Fundamentals. And this is really where the name fundamentalist took off, but it was a series of essays. Oh, 1919 they started. So these rich people were like, we want to help out. Mm-hmm. We're going to help print these and get these out there because we want the fundamentals of the faith to survive.
Right.
And also, like, yeah, it's probably not just like, oh, this is what we really believe for all of them. For some of them, they really thought that, like, we can't let Christianity die because it's a net good to the world. I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting? I was just thinking about this. In however many years the Bible's been around, and how many different interpretations there are of it in different denominations, and like think about every community church having a Bible study, right?
Yeah.
Every week they're reading the Bible, they're studying bits of the Bible.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing this everywhere for thousands of years now, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think that if there was a divine being who had a book with all his rules in it, it would be a little more concise?
Yeah.
Rather than having like this vague 400-page book that people spend thousands of years trying to figure out and never agreeing on anything, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, I remember I was talking to somebody who said something about the Bible. I was like, no, you got to read in this chapter, whatever. It really says this. And they're like, oh, I have actually read that. I'm like, but you're the one yelling at me about what the Bible says. You're the one who believes that the Bible is, like, the God of the universe wrote a book and gave it to you, and you haven't read the thing?
Yeah. Like, well, that was, like, years ago, I remember there was an old Colbert Report bit where there was one of those governors trying to push the Ten Commandments in courthouses, and then Colbert asked him to name the Ten Commandments, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. It's like, okay, so why are you so, like, gung-ho about this shit when you don't even know anything about it? And I'm not claiming, like, I know everything about it. I barely know anything about it.
Yeah, but you're not trying to make it.
No, I'm not trying to do these things. I'm more just, like, confused by most of the stuff about
exactly. And then, so 1920, Curtis Lee Laws of the Watchman Examiner. This is not the Watchman organization that, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses follow. It's a different Watchman. Because,
like the superheroes.
Yeah. Wrote an article about the gathering
of Juggalos.
Bible-believing Baptists.
Oh.
And
the BBB, the Better Business Bureau.
The Better Business Bureaus. And that in it they talked about, he concludes, we suggest that those who still cling to the great fundamentals and who mean to do battle royale for the fundamentals shall be called fundamentalists. And from then on, it was the fundamentalists, and people would call themselves fundamentalist churches, and we're in the fundamentalist movement, and So
it has a very back in my day, we just did this.
Yeah,
back in the Bible day, we just hated women and gays, you know, things like that. It's like, okay.
Oh, 100%.
All right.
And another thing, too, is like one of their big things was like there was a big movement. And just like now, there's like they were fighting against people trying to do social change and social justice. And they're like, no, we're at the end times. The goal of Christianity should be to save souls. And to convert people to Christianity so that as many people as possible can be saved and go to heaven.
My thing about that is, like, wouldn't you save more souls if you were actually, like, inclusive and understanding rather than being a bigoted dickhole?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Huh.
And, yeah, and so it was all about, like, okay, we're going to get back to the fundamentals of the faith so that we can, you know, get together and we're all saved for Christ. And another thing too, because we were talking about like the different revivals and the Millerites and stuff like that, and so people really thought in the 1800s that like there all these huge spiritual movements are happening, like this is truly a sign that the it's the end and we're all going to be saved by the end. And then these scientific discoveries and things like that kind of put some doubt on the Bible, and the way people are studying the Bible now is changing, and they're like, oh, but we had the thing, we were gonna save everybody. And so they're afraid of that, and because they started to believe in this idea called dispensationalism, where like there was different eras of time, the like Taylor Smith and her Eras Tour. I'm going to get comments for that. you love Taylor Smith.
Yeah.
But so there's different eras of time, and right now we're in the end times. Okay. So we have to just focus on that. So, but if you're caring about new discoveries, and we can't be at the beginning of something, we're at the end of time, so we just have to get back to the fundamentals. It doesn't matter about all this like sciencey crap. So basically they're stubborn.
Okay, this is something I've probably asked this question a million times, but I'm still always baffled. Like, where is it explicitly in the Bible that says end times, you got to be ready for them? Is there like, are there like big passages that say at the end of days, this will happen, so be ready for it? Or is it just kind of like people inferring things, like them saying Jesus Christ will come back and everything will be good? And they're like, this is it now, we got to be ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, in the Bible, it was, they just thought it was at that time, like they were in the end times, right? So like Jesus said before he went up to heaven that he wouldn't, like people who were there would still be alive when he returns. This generation will not die out. And then as the Bible gets written and that generation is dying off, they're like, maybe in the future.
Okay.
So Revelation is like, the book of Revelation is the big one where it's like, this is what's going to happen at the end. But also, it was apocryphal writing, but also easily could have just been about that time and about how Nero was going to, is an evil bastard and we hate him. And
I mean, it definitely feels like, how can we keep this going for another 15 years? And then, you know, 2,000 years later, they're like, oh shit, how do we make this make sense?
Yeah, because it's always been a doomsday cult. Christianity has always been a doomsday cult. It's always been about Jesus is going to return and then everything's over. But we're just stuck in the end days. So every generation thinks, well, now this is the end times.
Yeah, you think after, you know, 2,000 years, you'd be like, maybe it's not going to be the end times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should just be good people. Yeah. And try and live for the now. And then when the end times come, you'll be good.
Yeah. Dallas Theological Seminary was founded in 1924. A lot of people split off from Princeton because they hated all the liberal theology at Princeton.
Those college-educated assholes.
So I think Dallas Theological Seminary was the first really fundamentalist Bible college, and there's a lot more now. So they were one of the first ones, and evolution was a big one. So they've been fighting against evolution ever since their founding.
Oh, you mean they've been basically devolving?
Yeah, they've been devolving ever since.
That makes sense. I understand that.
Yeah. the Snopes monkey trial was their big thing, a lot of fundamentalists. And then still today, there's like them trying to get abandoned schools and teach the controversy, things like that.
The whole thing about like equal teaching of stuff in schools is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Are we going to teach that we're on the back of a great turtle? Like,
it's... Yeah. My thing is like one is a scientific theory, like based upon observable fact and evidence. The other is a religious doctrine belief that one group of people has.
Yeah.
Which is completely different.
Yeah.
And if you're going to argue for equal representation in the school, then you got to start teaching all the other stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to teach like Muslim faith. You got to teach like Jewish stuff or any other, like whatever representation you have in your community, you have to be teaching all of it if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But equating like evolution and creationism are two, it's another false equivalency.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with science. Get that shit out of
Get
there.
Get it out of there. Get it out of there.
You want to teach your kids that? Teach them it at home. You nut jobs. Well, which is what I think a lot of them are doing, right? Yeah. A lot of them homeschool now.
A lot of them homeschool. If you
Way
ever
to
seen.
Keep your kids fucking stupid.
Yeah. Have you seen Jesus Camp?
Didn't we watch that?
I don't think so.
We've definitely watched clips from it.
Yeah.
I think I saw it like years ago.
Yeah. But like. Because I think I've only seen clips of it. But there's the one clip where the kid is. Just talking like his talking to the parents and homeschooling, and the mom is teaching him how like the devil uses evolution to try to trick people. And,
yeah.
I saw a picture recently of somebody who went to an amusement park and they had a dinosaur section, and they just had their kids flipping off all the dinosaurs because they're made up by the devil to trick us. Yeah.
So. All right.
It's a damaging belief, fundamentalism.
I see, what I don't get is with fundamentalism or anything like this, if you truly are afraid of progress and science and things that are demonstrably true and effective, then you should be living on a commune in the middle of nowhere, growing your own food and not using technology.
Yeah.
Because it's such a hypocrisy to embrace things like modern technology and modern medicine and like electricity and the internet and computers and all that stuff, and then be like, but all this other stuff isn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It feels like such a, this is good for me and I benefit from it, therefore it's okay, versus this doesn't really affect my life, but I think it's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a false.
And that's kind of
thing
the thing
too,
because. In the 40s, 1947, we get the start of the neo-evangelicals. And so what the neo-evangelicals were saying was that fundamentalists had taken themselves out of the culture too much and separated themselves. And like they didn't want the culture to affect them, but the neo-evangelicals were saying, yeah, but we need to affect the culture. So that's when you start getting crusades from like Billy Graham. And other, like, people who are, like...
Well, superstar Billy Graham just died recently.
Oh.
A couple days ago.
Is that a wrestling man?
He's a wrestler. Oh.
I've been listening to the Behind the Bastards on...
Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I started that, too. It's been good.
Yeah.
He is... I mean, the wrestling business is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah. I've only listened to the first episode, and it's just, like, the history of wrestling. It's like,
oh, like, talking about
great.
The Von Erichs and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really messed up... That's a really sad family.
Yeah.
If you like that stuff, you should watch...
Behind the Mat?
Behind the Ring? No. It's that Vice documentary series. What the fuck's it called? I watched it all. It's really good, but it's, like, really
Fighting
sad.
With Mamley, starring Florence Pugh?
I've seen that, too. Uh-huh. That's okay. Anyway,
but yeah, so then that's when they start getting things like Christianity Today.
Oh, Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh,
Dark Side of the
Dark
Ring.
Side of the Moon. Dark Side of the Moon.
Right, Dark Side of the Moon.
Play it with Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. But you have to wait. Start it on the second Lion Roar.
Yeah,
something
I think
like that.
So. Yeah.
I don't know.
And do a weed on it when you do it.
Yeah, one weed.
One weed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there. That's a kind of. Neo-evangelicalism was kind of a split from fundamentalist evangelicalism, but now they're kind of like intertwined. People don't really use the term neo-evangelical anymore. Mm. You just call them evangelicals because that's what evangelicals have become. And then there's fundamentalist evangelicals, but the line is pretty thin.
Are there evangelicals?
Yeah, my friend Evan is an evangelical. He's just always talking about how great he is.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's evangelicalism in a nutshell. I mean, not a lot of people use the term anymore because it has such negative connotations, but you see the evidence of
they
it
still
in their actions.
Practice it, yeah. But they don't call it that.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a job interview once when I was looking to be a youth pastor where the guy said, "We are a fundamentalist Bible believing church." And I was like, "Goodbye, goodbye, see you."
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. And that was the thing, too. I was on vacation. I was visiting my sister, and she's like, "Oh, I set up this job interview for you." I was like, "I don't want that. I'm on vacation."
That's insane. I mean, I will say them saying that it's a fundamentalist Bible organization in the interview really saves some time.
It does. So, it really does. Yeah.
As much as I don't like it, I'm also like, oh, it's good to get that out of the way before I start working for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we thank some patrons?
Yeah, let's thank them.
Oh my God! Wow! Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to our Bible study.
Welcome to the Bible study. It's so nice out.
So nice out. So nice to see you.
I wish we could all be out at the church pool, but we don't got one yet because you guys haven't been donating enough.
Nope. So we need to donate more. We can't have any more Bibles. We have enough Bibles. We need to get more pools.
We need a big communion pool so we could go dunk people in and give them baptisms.
Amen.
Amen. But instead, we're inside now doing the study of the Bible.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
And anyways, we're going to have to start again
start
in Genesis
fresh.
Because we forgot where we were.
Chapter
again.
1. Maybe if you guys donated more to the church, then we could get some bookmarks for all the Bibles.
But we can't.
But we can't do that. Well, I guess we could always just write down where we finished off last time.
Yeah, but then the pen budget goes up because we'd have to use more ink.
Well, that's true.
But we have some prayers. Let's do some prayers.
Well, we'd like to thank our good friend Anonicom. Thank you. Somebody who's trying to get us out of this hole that we're in.
Yes, thank you, Anonicom. And I want to say a very huge prayer request for Sterling. Sterling, you're wonderful, great. Everybody loves Sterling.
Sterling Silver.
But again, when we asked for donations, you just gave us more Bibles.
Yeah, and
again,
we want gold,
we
silver,
need
the
gold,
bones,
silver,
jewels,
Bitcoin,
NFTs,
NFTs, pearls,
MFTs.
Some pearl necklaces would be good.
Well, I don't know if I need one of those right now.
No? Okay. No.
Maybe
so
later.
Diamond rings then.
Yeah.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh, so that would help.
That would be helpful.
And yeah, if you could just donate things other than Bibles to our very good church.
Yeah. And I have a special prayer request for Sophie. Listen, I know you've been listening, and I really appreciate you bringing in a couple of kiddie pools, saying it's for the young ones. But listen, when they're saying we need a new pool for the church, it's not for the young ones. It's for everybody, us included. We get hot too, okay? Yes. We're trying to be inclusive here. And yes, I understand young children, they need a little extra assistance because they haven't developed all the way, and that's why we're supposed to be leaders. But listen, we need a pool for everyone.
Everybody.
Me and Trevor right now are sweating, and we want to swim and do laps.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you. But also, you know, try harder.
Amen.
Amen.
And I have a huge prayer request for Cadillac Kim.
Yeah.
Again, just donating Bibles. We need a Cadillac.
Your name is
Cadillac Kim.
Or a Cadillac converter.
Yes.
Right? That converts Cadillacs into swimming pools.
Oh, that'd be so great. Yeah. Basically, we need a pool.
Yeah, or two.
Or two for the church Bible studies.
Olympic size, backyard size, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Should we do some Christian rock lyrics?
Let's do some rock lyrics of the Christian variety.
Okay.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
All right, this song has nothing to do with evangelicals or with fundamentalism.
Right. But it's getting back to the brass tacks of what loving the Lord is about. And I think that's a fundamental part of belief.
Yes, yes.
Brass tacks.
Brass tacks. This song's by somebody named Marie Miller.
Okay.
I don't know a lot about Maria Mill. I don't think she's super popular, but, you know, she's got a following online. She's, you know, people like her.
They're minerals, Marie.
Apparently she sang in front of the Pope once.
Oh, which Pope?
Francis?
He's okay, I guess.
They're
still all crooks.
Still ahead of a pedophile ring.
Still all crooks.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Did you read that article or that Reddit post I sent you today?
Oh no, I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the worst thing. Right? It's just because it is about something that happened in Toronto and someone just asking for advice. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a wild story.
Oh, okay,
but I'm sure it's much more common than we think.
What was it? What's the gist?
Basically, someone was saying that they were working in an internship for a church, and then they ended up having an affair with one of the pastors. And then it came out, and he went away for a while, and then the church pressured her to, like, delete all the messages about it and not talk about it. And I guess now they're at a point where they're like, they want to bring him back, and they're like, are you going to forgive him and say it's okay for him to come back? Because we really want him back. And everyone in the comments is like, it sounds like this church is just trying to cover up shitty work from a predator, and just to bring him back in and make you gaslight you into thinking that you're a piece of shit. So...
yeah, get rid of him.
Yeah, so
fuck
pretty
that
wild
guy. Fuck that guy, everybody.
But yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Well, don't fuck that guy because that's what got us into this mess in the first place. But fuck that guy.
Yeah. But this. Speaking of fucking
Mary Miller, Marie.
So she's Catholic. So I don't know if that's really Christian.
Are we learning?
It's the OG Christian.
Catholic isn't Christian.
According to a lot of fundamentalists.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking book.
Yeah. 6'2" or 6'2" is the name of the song.
6'2" and rude as hell. Gotta get him in the ground before he starts to smell. No, it's a Primus song.
Oh. this one goes, Lord, I've been praying for somebody I've never seen. And I don't care what he looks like as long as he loves me. No, I'm not particular. And before we get into this next part, I know that this song is tongue-in-cheek. I know that she's trying to be funny.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to point that out when, like, you say, I don't like this thing. And people are like, no, it's meant to be a joke. It's like, I know it's meant to be a joke.
Right.
I still
don't
enjoy
it. It's not a good joke.
Enjoy it. Yeah. And then she goes, no, I'm not particular, but I could have... But could he have blue eyes just like the sky and blonde hair, wavy and light? And 6'2" is my favorite height, but Lord, I don't care what he looks like.
Okay.
I thought that was funny when I heard the song because she just described my little brother. he's got hazel eyes, but sometimes they look blue, like mine.
So this is just a lady who's a little thirsty saying that.
Yeah.
Is this even really a Christian song?
Well, she's praying to God, and then she says...
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, you can say that in anything. It's just like, I've been praying every day for a love to come my way. You know, like, that. I don't really necessarily consider that a Christian song. You know what I mean? This is I'm praying every day for a big, tall guy with a huge dick and beautiful eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like this goes into the Christian culture of God will provide somebody for you in his timing. And I think that's really what the more theme of the song is about being patient and like finding and like if you're being picky, then God's not going to bless you.
Right. Like it's just like God's there and he's like putting like millions of people in front of you and you're turning them all down. And he's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just date one of them.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, we had this song we used to listen to, and I don't know if I've done it as a Christian rock lyric. I don't think I have, called Fishy by a band called Fillmore, and it's a very similar thing.
Fishy.
We got a double lyrics for you today, folks.
Whoa.
Oh, this is the actual song. What lyrics.
What the hell? Fillmore.
And this song goes, sometimes I wonder if I'll ever find her, the one that God's chosen for me. But what if I find her, but she doesn't like me? I guess that disproves destiny. And then it goes on to say that Jesus has a girl for you.
That's a weird thing about, like, everyone has someone.
Yeah.
That's not really...
No.
That gets back to, like, the whole thing about, like, destiny and true love and yada, 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 which is really a bunch of... kind of toxic, unreasonable expectations to put on somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than realizing that a relationship is about compromise and understanding and communication. And as soon as you start going like,
They're the one for me. That's just the way it is. God put them in front of me. You're ignoring all that stuff. And I mean, it's kind of like, maybe you need to work on yourself, and maybe that's why you're not getting anything.
And it's always funny to me when Christians believe in destiny and fate and things like that, because the reason that they'll give anytime you talk about the problem of evil is free will. But the existence of free will negates the existence of destiny. Like, you can't have both. The reason we have sin and the reason we have evil in this world is because of free will. And then also, God will put somebody in front of you, which means that God controlled their free will to get you.
Yeah.
And your free will to get you two in the same place at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, if God's controlling everything, then why do anything?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, why proselytize? Why try and change these things?
If
God works in mysterious ways and there's destiny and he's watching everything and controls everything, what does it fucking matter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't think that the all-powerful being wouldn't take care of that stuff? Why do you got to do it?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
If anything, it feels like a little bit of hubris there, where you're just like, oh, well, I got to fix this because God can't take care of it.
Yeah.
Wow. So if anything, us being atheists and not doing anything about it, we're better Christians than the Christians.
It's true.
Very we're respecting true. God and what he's done, I guess.
Very true. And
checkmate.
To say this at the end of the show probably doesn't help anything, but I got a comment recently that our podcast would be better if we didn't have so many swear words in it.
Oh, really?
And to that I say, fuck that, because, and I'll tell you why, as somebody who has left the faith, saying swear words is very therapeutic.
Right. I mean, I'm of two minds. I understand that some people don't like it.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's a part of, like, vernacular. At the end of the day, too, they're just words.
Yeah.
If it's something that really bothers you, you maybe need to examine why they bother you so much.
Yeah.
Intention's a big thing, too. I don't think we're ever really being malicious when we're using them. We're not. And we're not, like, using, like, really, really terrible things.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess part of me is just like, grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
They're just words. It's not a big deal.
And the thing is, because I was thinking too, like, I don't really swear that much in my video essays.
Right.
But that's because they're pre-written.
Yeah, in a conversational context, it's a little different, and especially, and then sometimes too, it's a much more concise way to get across a point and a feeling.
Yeah.
Especially stronger feelings about things that are harder to, like, convey, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's part of our world, and if you think that people don't swear, then, I don't know, you're... just kind of putting your head in the sand a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But we still love you.
Well, I don't.
Oh. I still love you.
I think, I don't know if I can love anybody without knowing them.
That's true.
No, that's not true. I love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.